thank you so much for coming and staying. My name is Paul, and I'm directing a new BSc program, or designing it and directing it, in public health in Xianzhapong, Liverpool University, which is a branch of Liverpool in China. And I'm a research associate at the Refugee Study Center of the University of Oxford, where I got my PhD. And I am also a associate with the China Center for Health and Humanity at University College London. So what I'm presenting, actually, for those of you who are interested in integration and Prasad, this was really, you'll see why this belonged really in the other section. So it's kind of awkward here, because I'm not talking about a specific study, but actually theory that came from one study in particular and several literature reviews. So basically I'm talking about healthcare integration. I'm problematizing it somewhat, more so than it's been problematized in the literature. I have no relationships to disclose. So the order of my presentation will be research methods, defining what healthcare integration is, the context-dependent practice of healthcare integration, problematizing the World Health Organization's representation of healthcare integration, and how might we think of reframing healthcare integration. So mainly I have, especially for the countries other than the Philippines, a critical review of the literature. My primary research was in the Philippines. It was over 22 months. I did a purposive and snowball sample of 1,023 people that included community members from four rural municipalities, healthcare providers, and policy actors who participated in semi-structured interviews, focus groups, and pile sorts. Participant experience, and I'm saying experience rather than observation, because I was actually working with the traditional medicine unit at WHO and with the Philippine Institute for Traditional and Alternative Healthcare, which was part of the Department of Health of the Philippines. So non-biomedical, and I'm going to it's so complicated, and I only have so much time, I hope you won't mind that I'm using my notes. So non-biomedical practices and practitioners of local healthcare have been estimated to serve as the primary source of healthcare for a majority of populations in low and middle income countries. And you see here in the darker green where it's more concentrated. Thereby, the World Health Organization's promotion of healthcare integration as a means to address healthcare access and disparity has often been portrayed as an inherently beneficent and irrefutable global health policy. But what really is healthcare integration? And how was this normative discourse constructed? The process of incorporating local non-biomedical practices and practitioners into biomedical healthcare and healthcare systems has been called integration. Healthcare integration has been represented in the literature as a means to improve access to healthcare and achieve health for all, which was part of the slogan for Alma-Ata, since its formal adoption by the World Health Assembly of the WHO in 1977. Healthcare integration is represented by the WHO as a single outcome of all non-biomedical practices at a single state level of analysis. In reviewing the literature, few authors have critically examined or challenged the normative discourse of healthcare integration or considered its historical construction. The WHO's model of healthcare integration, I think I skipped something here, is based on a misconception of Mao Zedong's historical goal to generate a new form of healthcare from his attempted unification of biomedicine and various forms of Chinese medicine in an attempt to redress the health disparity the CCP, or the Chinese Communist Party, inherited from the Republican era. As well as the need for communism to embrace modernity and eschew what Mao called all feudal and superstitious ideas. However, biomedical physicians sought to work in modern, urban rather than poor rural settings. Mao's solution to the resulting inequity in rural health was to unite biomedical, and rather force biomedical physicians with the quote-unquote old-style doctors. Yet this was only achieved through forceful and coercive means, as both biomedical and Chinese medicine physicians strongly resisted this movement. From the mid-1950s, Mao specifically called for the integration of biomedicine and Chinese medicines under the slogan, Chinese and Western medicine should be integrated. Yet the integration of Chinese medicines and biomedicine was only intended to be a first step towards Mao's final goal of unification. This first step of integration was meant to bring Chinese medicine to a purportedly higher level, scientific level, to be on a par with biomedicine so that both could then be unified into a new medical system. The process of healthcare integration in China was actually the standardization of different schools of Chinese medicine along a biomedical framework. Mao employed biomedical physicians to comb through the practices of Chinese medicines and remove any superstitious or spiritual elements, whilst retaining those elements that were more biomedical-like, more capable of being understood by the West, and more capable of being standardized. What was then developed by these biomedical physicians is what is now generically referred to in English as traditional Chinese medicine, or TCM. TCM was to be incorporated into hospitals and clinics and employed when appropriate for a given patient in conjunction with biomedicine. Thus, what was to become the WHO model for healthcare integration could be understood as a process of both local deculturation and biomedical acculturation and assimilation. But what is important to distinguish in the WHO representation is that the practice of using TCM in hospitals or clinics in conjunction with biomedicine is what WHO is identifying as integration, whilst ignoring that TCM was already an integrated system standardized by biomedical physicians, which is quite different from attempting to integrate myriad local, raw, unstandardized practices into biomedical systems. Thus, the relevance of the WHO adopting TCM as a model for healthcare integration, whilst not acknowledging that TCM is already an integrated system, is that it first suggests that any non-biomedical practice can be successfully integrated into a national healthcare system, whilst disregarding the fact that few of these practices may be as systematized and standardized as TCM or Ayurveda. B, that it may thereby be facilitating the integration of only those non-biomedical practices that have been systematized, standardized, and legitimated by biomedicine. C, it defines integration as a single process that can only occur top-down at a state level. And D, that it can lead to the assumption that integration can be achieved by any country at any point in time, as comprehensively as the People's Republic of China appear to do, regardless of political and socioeconomic contexts. Furthermore, in defining integration, it is important to distinguish what is being integrated and who is being integrated. For example, in the Philippines, acupuncture and chiropractic, which are not in any way indigenous to the Philippines, was what was primarily being integrated by the Department of Health, along with the production of three local herbs that they manufactured, the Department of Health, into pill form. The only local practitioners that were being integrated, and currently are in a way, in the Philippines, are traditional birth attendants, or hilots. But this is only if they refuse, or they agree to refuse to deliver, regardless that they are the primary practitioner sought by pregnant women in most rural communities of the Philippines. It's about 70% of rural women in the Philippines prefer to deliver at home with their TBA. Similarly, in Cuba, acupuncture, homeopathy, chiropractic, and native plant medicines were integrated into what is called Medicina Tradicional y Natural, whilst local Cuban practices were not integrated. And in China, many local practitioners were prohibited from integration into the healthcare system. Hence, although herbalists may have been eligible to become, for example, barefoot doctors, shamans and diviners were completely ineligible. Such conditionalities that marginalize certain practitioners then problematize the WHO's representation of integration as a complete integration of a country's non-biomedical practices and practitioners into a healthcare system. Furthermore, we need to distinguish how integration is occurring. The integration of TCM and biomedicine was only achieved through top-down coercion and at times very violent force within a totalitarian state system. The integration of Medicina Tradicional y Natural in Cuba was led by the military. These examples are quite different from the grassroots practitioner-led integration of Ayurveda in India at approximately the same historical moment as integration in China. That healthcare integration could be practitioner-led and beyond the purview of the state is not considered in WHO's construct of integration. We also need to consider the political, economic context of integration. Though integration in Cuba and China occurred in similar political economic systems, and though healthcare access was a primary focus for both Mao and Fidel Castro, who ensured it was written into the Cuban Constitution, integration in Cuba was an outcome of the necessity of the dissolution of the Soviet Union, Cuba's main trade partner, with a simultaneous increasingly punitive internationalization of the U.S. embargo against Cuba. This occurred approximately in the early 1990s, which included access to medical supplies. Again, quite different from the context of the structurally adjusted, decentralized healthcare sector of the Philippines. It is imperative to assess where integration is occurring. Is integration only occurring at the state level, as portrayed in China and Cuba's discourse, or at the practitioner level, as seen in India? Or can integration occur at multiple levels simultaneously, particularly at the level of patient pluralism, as I observed in the rural Philippines? I would argue that it is a state-centric and practitioner-centric contrivance to assert that practitioner and social structure create healthcare without the input or decisions of the patient. Healthcare is most definitely constructed by the individual and community's use of healthcare that may include both the formal and informal healthcare systems. And finally, can it be assumed that integration has improved access to healthcare, and if so, for whom? In China and the Philippines, local practitioners that were not integrated were definitely marginalized. Furthermore, the Philippines' financial and physical access to healthcare was not improved by integration and in some instances was worsened. And TBAs, who since 1952 were trained in safe birthing techniques and equipped with sterile birthing kits, were now no longer provided with either in their newly integrated role as non-delivering TBAs, again, regardless that women still employ TBAs for delivery. You must also consider the context of the Philippines as being the home of one of the largest brain drains in nurses and in nurses who can deliver, as well as in doctors, of many countries outside of possibly a few others in Asia. And finally, can it be assumed? Excuse me. So, in conclusion, we can identify a marked difference between the normative representation of integration as a purposeful intervention of the biomedical state apparatus and the practice of integration that occurs organically through, for example, practitioner application, through the natural syncretism of practices shaped by sociocultural factors over time, and most importantly, through the patient's own plural and integrated use of their local practices and practitioners. This paper has attempted to illustrate that although there may be a single global representation of healthcare integration to which all countries are meant to adhere, integration may ultimately be practiced in as many ways as there are contexts. Furthermore, it's important to consider whether the WHO's adoption of this particular model may inherently engender an inequity of power between key stakeholders and integration processes. The policy and processes of healthcare integration are not solely shaped by a biomedical agenda, but are very much a product of specific political, economic, philosophical, and cultural forces that may not be replicable from one context to another. Furthermore, local needs and local resistance can problematize the practice of a hegemonic or universalized form of healthcare integration. This research also problematizes the representation of the myriad complex, independent, and interdependent processes of healthcare integration that are simultaneously occurring at multiple administrative levels of analysis as a single process with a single outcome occurring at a singular state level of implementation. Finally, if, as was identified in the communities of the Philippines, individuals and communities have already integrated their healthcare by virtue of their plural use of the practices and practitioners, we may be inclined to ask, then for whom is integration? Ultimately, I would argue that healthcare integration is a modern Western concept that benefits modern Westerners and their concerns about the safety of non-pharmaceuticals. Integration is thereby a ritual of purification or cleansing process that renders the products of the other as fit for modern Western consumption. Thus, a universalized conception of healthcare integration must ultimately be reconsidered and reformulated to better accommodate local levels and local contexts and ultimately provide improved access to healthcare as was intended in the WHO's original conceptualization of healthcare integration. So for healthcare integration to be successful, or at least not harmful, the particular may need to be given precedence over the universal. Thank you for your time and attention.
That is...